Thank you guys for coming today. We talked about earlier about the importance of role models, and I think for me as someone who maybe doesn't have as much teaching experience as we've seen today, I have had the privilege of working with Dr. Tom Turpin and being able to really jump in there and tie my theater in and really learn about how to engage the students in a way that's exciting for them and that helps to spark meaning for them. And so some of the things that we're going to be looking at today are things that we've used in the classroom, that Tom has used in his classroom, and that some of presenters in our department use in outreach activities and things like that, that we think that really help to spark meaning in our students and really help to create an interest in entomology. And we're also going to be talking about how to tie in other disciplines, use entomology not only to teach entomological concepts, but to use entomology to teach any other concepts in any other discipline. So like I said, our activities, they're going to be employed, are employed in undergraduate courses in the Department of Entomology at Purdue. But we also do a lot of outreach in our department. So we use a lot of these in our outreach programs for not only elementary students, but also secondary students. Some of the goals that we keep in mind when we're working on working with these activities, we're really hoping in to aid in developing a meeting. Not only meaning, but understanding, a deep understanding of entomological concepts through hands-on inquiry, things that we've been talking about all day today, activities that are oriented to those that type of learning and interactiveness. And we're also looking to introduce entomological concepts in a format that are interdisciplinary or to use insects to tie them into other disciplines. The activities specifically that we're going to be looking at today are the roach weight pull. We're going to be looking at cricket jump, roach speed, biological concept cartoons, and a roach in a box. And they're all pretty straightforward, but I think that when our students get to do them, they have a lot of fun with them. I've got a lot of pictures, so you guys are going to get to see a lot of fun things that we do with these. And these are some of the main ones that we use. By no means is this everything that we do in the department. So for the roach weight pull, as you can see here, what the students do is they pull a sled. Basically, we kind of hitch them to a sled, and the sled is gradually loaded with more and more students until the sled is so heavy that it can't be pulled by the students anymore. So as you can see in the picture, we have starting off with one person sitting on the sled, and then we've got two people sitting on the sled, and it's in the middle of the hallway, in the middle of Smith Hall during the semester, so everybody gets to watch you, and it's actually quite entertaining. An elaboration that we do on this also, and we've done this with younger children, especially this elaboration where we actually bring the roaches in and we make a little mini sled for them and hitch up a petri dish to the cockroach and then add pennies. One at a time we add pennies until the roach can, it's so heavy that the roach is no longer able to pull the petri dish. And the concept that we're really hoping to instill in the students is that roaches can pull, relative to their size, roaches can pull a great amount of weight than we can as humans. And we tell them, you know, that roaches pull about 13 to 14 times their body weight. And whenever we do this with young children and whenever we do this in the classroom, they actually will weigh the pennies and they'll weigh the roach, and they math is tied in a lot to this activity, and they come up with how much was the roach able to pull in the end, and so on and so forth. And you know, our students, when we do this with our students, don't necessarily some of the females don't necessarily want to give out their weights, so you know, general estimates, things like that. Whenever we were working on this, for the most part, we were able to see that on average the students were only able to pull a sled that was loaded with two students. And that's about two and a half, that was about two and a half times their body weight. I did include a picture of someone pulling three students. This was only occurred one time, so I thought it was pretty interesting to put it in there. As you can see, he's straining a little bit, but he was able to do it. And looking at the elaboration activity, the roaches are able to pull normally anywhere between 30. This one was able to pull 34 pennies in the petri dish. And sometimes they need a little bit of prodding. You've got to remind them that they're supposed to be moving, you know. But the students really get into it. It's really fun. You can really see that they're by actually participating in this activity and becoming the roach themselves, per se, you can see that they're really starting to understand the concept a little bit more, and in a fun way. And I think, being from, you know, theater for myself, I think that part of introducing our students to science, oftentimes students think of science as it's not as fun. It's from a textbook. We stand and, you know, this teacher, as a teacher, I stand in front of the class and lecture to my students. But this is the side of science that we want them to see, that it's fun, that it's engaging, that it's exciting. And in order to actually learn the science, I think it needs to be exciting. There needs to be some level of excitement there. And this is what we're seeing in our students in these activities. The cricket jump activity, another really fun one, right? We're talking about active engagement. I think this is about as active as you can get, literally speaking. The students are just jump from a standing position that's marked on the floor. The length of the jump is measured and recorded. Again, there's a strong math tie to that. And they're able to do, with younger kids, we work with graphing. And I think it's important, as someone that's currently in science education, to try and tie these things into the standards quite frequently, because teachers, younger teachers, or teachers of elementary and secondary students, you know, that's a big concern for them. So, you know, being able to tie in the other disciplines, tie in the graphing, things like that, helps them out, and they really appreciate that. The concepts that we're wanting them to look out here is the distance that a cricket can jump, and how much greater it is than we can jump as humans, especially, you know, from a standing position, and that crickets can jump about 20 to 30 times their body length. And they were able to jump pretty far, okay? I'm going to give them some credit. Our students did really, really well, not 20 to 30 times their body length well, but as you can see in the picture here, he got really into it. The students were able to jump about 1 to 1.5 times their body length. So some of them were able to jump, I think the longest one that we had was just over 7 feet from standing. I think that's pretty good. But once again, it's getting the students off their feet, out of the classrooms, participating, you know, in the activity, to really develop meaning and understanding for the concept, and to be able to remember it later. It's so much easier to remember it whenever you can say, I remember that because I did that activity in class and I had so much fun, and, you know, and it helps them to develop that meaning. Then we also looked at roach speed. This one was a little bit different because we were mainly focused on not necessarily an entomological concept that we're looking at, but this one ties math in very strongly. So we wanted the students to calculate the speed of a roach with a limited amount of materials. And I actually allowed my students to use more materials than is normally given. Normally they're given a piece of paper, and they cannot use a ruler, and they cannot use a tape measure, and they're told to how fast can your roach move. And we use Madagascar roaches because American roaches would be a little bit tricky, so because they're pretty fast. So what we're looking at here intercurricularly, we're looking at non-standard units of measurement and how they can be effective tools of measuring length or distance. So this can be a great tie-in for a unit on non-standard units of measurement. And I have examples of our students using a number of things. They had their pieces of paper. We know that younger kids might not know this, but we know that a piece of paper is 8.5 by 11 inches, and most of them use their watches. If there was a clock on the wall, then they use the second hand to time it. We had students that used the paper, the length of a pencil, and we had students that used the squares on the floor for 12 by 12. We had students who used their feet, literally, like this is a foot sort of thing. And we also, as you'll see here, we had students who used paper clips, which we've actually used quite frequently with younger students as a really effective form of measurement. And basically they were able to come up with all kinds of non-standard forms of measurement, things that I really hadn't thought of that I thought were pretty neat. And although this one doesn't directly relate to an entomological concept, I think that it's important for teachers to realize that we don't just have to be teaching entomology in our classrooms, that it's about bringing entomology in anywhere in the classroom. Then we looked at the biological concept cartoons. These are so much fun. The students toward the end of the semester, toward the middle of the semester, wherever you are, they're given a list of biological concepts, and based on their knowledge of the concept that is given to them, they have to design a cartoon that illustrates that specific concept and properly illustrates that entomological concept. And in example A, this is looking at how the concept that the housefly was the first insect to become resistant to the insecticide DDT. So that's DDT in their cups there that they're drinking, okay? And these are so much fun to do, and they're so interesting, and the students really come up with some great ideas. In example B, it's honeybees lose their stinger when they sting and die as a result. So this one, it says old and wrinkly. So this, obviously, this honeybee is a conscientious objector. Okay, so not participating there. But the students were really able to complete a cartoon that scientifically and creatively represented their biological concept. And you can go further with this and have them do revisions and final drafts and things like this. These are some of the sketches that our students did that we thought were really clever and really showed that they were able to take that concept and put it into their own words and in their own how they think of that concept themselves. Roach in a box is the next one. In this activity, we give the students a piece of paper, we give the students a paper clip, and we tell them that their only task is to, using those two items, to come up with a container that the roach will not be able to escape from. They can work in teams, and this is a great one for problem-solving skills. But the concept basically is to just demonstrate that roaches are extremely agile and are pretty much able to escape anything. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this lesson is the students really try to make the most perfect box, and they're making walls, and they're folding it in, and they're, something that really looks sturdy and something that really looks like it would be effective. And when they put their roach in there, they pretty much everybody figured out that it can escape every single time. And granted, leaving them in there overnight, the roach can chew its way through, but not thinking of in terms of that. I actually had one student that was able to come up with a box that the roach was not able to escape from. And she got a little fancy. She knows a little bit about origami. So she made an origami box with a hole in the top, used her paper clip to keep the roach from being able to come out of the hole. I'd never seen a student do this before. And she just slipped the roach through the top of the hole, and he couldn't get out. It was nice and firm. It was folded just the way that he wasn't able to get out. This is the only one of my students that were able to. And one thing that Tom sees in his classroom a lot is the students work really hard to make, the walls and make the box perfect and do exactly what they think they should do. And basically all you have to do is stick the roach in the middle of a piece of paper and kind of just fold it all up around it and put the paper clip on the paper, and you're done. Takes about 2 seconds, right? But but it's going through the process of learning. That's all you really need to do. And basically, whenever we do these, we think that doing these in a hands-on, inquiry-oriented activities where we give our students a question, a problem to solve, let them explore it on their own, really helps with the learning process. It helps not only to establish meaning for the students, but it helps to strengthen their understanding of whatever concept is being taught, whether that's an entomological concept or whether that's a math concept or, language arts or anything like that. These activities can be used across the board. It does not matter if you are an undergraduate student, a graduate student, or an elementary school student, a secondary school student. These are really, really successful. Everyone enjoys learning about science in this sort of way, and hopefully that's the being teachers and being people that are interested in education, this is something that we realize, and now we just want to get our students interested and realize the same thing so that maybe someday they'll be teachers and they'll be teaching their students in this way as well. And it's a great way to integrate disciplines, a great way. Entomology can be used anywhere. We have a poetry and prose class, once again taught by Dr. Tom Turpin, and he ties in all kinds of entomology into literature. He's able to pull it out of everything. It's everywhere you look, and people just don't realize how accessible it is. And I would just like to thank the Department of Entomology and Purdue University and Dr. Yaninick and my husband and my wonderful daughter. Yes. The petri dish actually has, the roaches are harnessed, and we have, the harness goes, it's just a piece of wire, and it goes through the very outer layer edge. I'm going to have to remember the technical terminology, Tommy, you might have to help me. It just goes through the outer edge. It's not painful at all. We just poke a little hole, run it through, and harness it up so that there's a little loop on the back of the roach. And the petri dish just has a piece of fish line and like a hook on the end, and we hook it on. And, you know, we can take it all off, we can take it all apart, and it's, you know, it doesn't harm the roach or kill the roach or anything like that. But it works great, very effective. And we actually have a whole protocol for how to harness a roach in the department written up that I'm sure that we can get anybody if they need it. Any other questions? Yes.
This is obviously a great course of class because I have a lab component. Mm-hmm.
That's actually one of the really hard things, depending on what space you have allocated to you. Tom, you've actually used some of these in your lecture classrooms, have you not? So, I mean, granted, you might not be able to, you know, get out the sled and do things like that, but you can do that and call students down from the class. Maybe you're not involving the whole class, but I think if you get some of the students involved, I think that the class is going to be more apt to pay attention, which is, you know, going to increase interest. But I think that there are a lot of them that you can adapt. I think you can adapt these to the classroom. And, you know, just think in terms of, can I get any students involved at all? Not thinking of how can I get every single student. But, yeah, Tom's class had 300 students in it.
Actually, how do you tie it into your outreach activities? Can
we go out? How are these directly tied in? We get the classes involved. That we depending on where the students are and what the teachers are wanting us to bring in and show the students and talk to the students about, we actually have the kids doing these activities. Sometimes we might have to simplify it a little bit for younger students, but they are actually doing these activities when we go out there, and we have so many requests for programs that we can't even keep up with it all. So, and if your departments aren't doing outreach, and I know that most of them are, jump on the bandwagon and, you know, get out in the schools and start informing the teachers how they can teach their students, you know, to do the same thing that you're doing. Yes?
In graduate school, I've taught some or TA'd some investigative labs. After a while, there were a certain set of problems that they always had to solve every year, and the students sort of learned from their friends how they solved it. Mm-hmm. Do you see this coming up with your undergraduates that they just heard from somebody else, you know, just crumple up the roach in a piece of paper and it solves the problem?
I myself have not experienced that. But once again, I'm still a graduate instructor, so I haven't been doing this for as many years as some of our more experienced professors have. I haven't experienced that, but I'm sure that it maybe might occur. Just make sure that your fraternities and sororities don't have files. Yes.
If you're a large class, can you use something like a webcam through the computer and projector to show a whole class?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the classrooms that we use, actually, we have not always do we have, we don't have a webcam, but we have docucams and things like that. But if your school has access to that, then you can bring all kinds of things in like that. We use the docucam, which is like an overhead, but you can put anything underneath it, and your students can see everything. And those are absolutely wonderful materials. But I know that not every classroom has those that you're in, but. Absolutely, whatever technology that you can bring in.
Any other questions?
Well, thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.